Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your Yarn and Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. That's BBM Bumba Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from and to all our traditional across the beautiful country of ours. Welcome back. National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, you mob. Too deadly. Now, a collection of grief and mourning and a love letter to kin and country. This all came, come back now, is the first anthology of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander speculative fiction. This collection of writers will summon and connect with ancestral spirits, revisit collective grief and investigate potential futures and how the past is always connected. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Sister Michaela Saunders, curator and editor by Koori and Lebanese writer. On the line, Michaela, good morning, sis. How are you?
Hello, Trev. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, sister, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Okay, so I'm Koori through my mum's side and I'm Lebanese through my dad's side. My grandmother was Darug, but I grew up in the Tweed Koori community. My stepdad's Bundjalung in South Sea Islander. So, yeah.
Deadly footprint. Fruit salad, my sister.
That's it.
Too deadly. Look, stating your statement here regarding first knowledge of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander writing, I just wanted it to exist. You say here, I read a few anthologies from Native America editors who put together anthologies in the last decade, and I just really wanted one to exist for our own people. Toni Morrison said, if you're not reading the stuff that you want to read, you have to get out there and write it yourself, and that's exactly what you did. So, yeah, tell us exactly what you just did, sister.
That's it. So over the last few years, I've been studying and writing and reading speculative fiction, and I'm really trying to figure out what our own people have done and over the last 30 years. And it's just been so much amazing. I thought it would be a good idea to get a collection together so that more people can expose our writers, not just our new people, but, you know, like the older ones. Our first speculative fiction novel was written in 1990 by... amazing elder activist who's passed away now, and that's Sam Watson Senior. Yes. And I've actually included an extract of his book in here so that people can, you know, see how amazing this is and how long we've been doing it for.
Well, sister, we are storytellers, and look, we've all got a story to tell, and you're just bringing those stories to life, aren't you?
That's it, and not just me. It's I got the stories together, but
sure,
it's made of 20 other writers and their beautiful stories, and they're all from different nations, they're all from different age groups, all different walks of life, and together, all their stories together in this book create this bigger story, you know, that really shows whoever reads this book, you know, the diversity of our voices and our experiences. And
what's the title of the book there, Michaela?
Sorry,
what's the title of the book there?
It's This All Come Back Now.
Okay, fantastic. And it's out now, is it?
It came out today, actually. Okay. Today's his very first birthday.
Good. So how can people get a hold of this deadly book?
Well, it should be in all good bookstores if they want to physically go in, but available online. If you look at, you go to UQP or University of Queensland Press website, you can buy it from there and they'll send it out straight away, free shipping. I would definitely rather people go buy it through there than like some of the bigger places like Amazon or whatever. They don't need our money, but the smaller fellas do, yeah.
And can you share with us some of the stories we're talking about here, please, sister?
Yes, so we've got lots of stories. We've got some that have already been published before, mm-hmm. as I mentioned earlier, but some that are brand new from writers who, like, this is their first ever story they've had published. We've got ghost stories, like Gussie stories, you know. Mm-hmm. We've got some that are set in the future, some that are, like, really science fiction, some that are, like, fantasy, some that are a bit, like, bush horror, like, you don't want to read them after dark, you know. Mm. They're a bit creepy, those ones.
Yeah, sure, sure. all lights are on.
But all kinds of stories. Anything that's a bit weird, you know, it's in here.
Yeah, beautiful. And stories are all from blackfellas?
Yes, all blackfellas, all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander writers.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for sharing, my sister. And first of many, I'd like to think, to the space that you're sitting in.
I really hope so, yeah. I think I don't want this to be the only one, just
good.
The first one, you know, first of many.
Well, as you're, as this, Toni Morrison said, yeah, if you're not reading the stuff that you want to read, then get out there and write it. So
Make it happen,
sister. Beautiful. Thank you very much for sharing. All the best to you. And we'll keep a lookout for All Come Back Now, is named the book. It's out there, First Anthology of Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander Speculative Fiction. So look, fantastic, sister. And keep doing what you're doing, my sis.
Thank you, brother. See
Take
you
care.
Later.
Bye, Michaela. Deadly Young there. Michaela Saunders, her name is, curator and editor by Kuri and Lebanese writer, and just talking about writing anthologies about our mob. And like I said, we are storytellers, so here's a fantastic book, All Come Back Now. So that's the name of the book. So do get out there, have a read, and share it with your mob. And it's a bridge builder, written by blackfellas. It's a bridge builder for our non-Indigenous brothers and sisters as well to walk a mile in our shoes, so to speak. Have your say in Yarnup Strong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Neath the Maimaya's leafy shadows, where we spent those happy days, telling tales of old-time legends and the old folks' early ways. Gathered round the old campfire underneath the cherry tree, children with their happy faces danced in corroboree. Rolling home, rolling home, rolling home, fair land to see. Rolling home to old Lake Tyres, rolling home, fair land to thee.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Yeah, to Daily Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text the brother, 0457140550. And our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. So let's go to NRL and see how they went on the weekend. Hope your team got up. Broncos defeated the Sharks 16-7. The Titans went down to the Panthers, who are undefeated at the moment, Panthers. Premiers from last year, 18-4. The Sea Eagles went down to the Rabbitohs, 40-22. The Warriors just had a win over the Raiders by a field goal, 21-20, thanks to Johnson. And also the Bulldogs got up against Roosters, 16-12. The Eels got annihilated by the Cowboys, 35-4. Speaking of annihilation, Storm defeated Knights, 50-2. And they won their game last week, Storms. 70 points, so that's 120 points in two games. The Dragons defeated West Tigers, 12-6. That's how it sits. In regard to this weekend, you've got Rabbitohs up against Broncos. So captain there, Reynolds, play against his own team, the Rabbitohs. That should be a good game. Raiders up against the Bulldogs. Panthers up against the Eels. On Saturday football, we've got Sea Eagles up against West Tigers. Roosters up against Titans. And the Cowboys up against Knights. And on Sunday football, Storm up against Dragons and Sharks up against Warriors. Hope your team went well. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Want to hear from you, Bob? Too deadly.
Shines down as the moon lit up, echoing the wind. Tide slowly tumbling like a lady, slowly closing in. Five boys and two ladies. Slowly tumbling in like the echo in the wind. Night cliff wolf in front of us, his points further in. Lim's hotel beside of us, from a distance we could see. Five boys and two ladies lit up along the beach. Tide slowly tumbling in. Slowly tumbling in like the echo in the wind. Like the echo in the wind.
Yothi Indy here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you say your mob? Yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. Yarn up with the Baldy one here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BB and Bummer Rip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service, house there down at Beamer office, Brisbane Digital Media Association. A big shout out to both organisations. Thank you very much to Deadly Mob. And a big shout out to First Nation radio stations across this Deadly Country of ours, a Deadly Black Network. Let's go to AFL, the scores over the weekend. The Tigers got up against West Coast Eagles. Got up, they flogged them actually, 165 points to 56. A close one with the Fremantle and Geelong Cats, and Fremantle ran away with it just by 3 points, 69 points to 66. The GWS Giants defeated Adelaide Crows, 113 to 54. And also Melbourne Demon defeated Hawthorn, 91 points to 81, 10 ender. The game up here in Cairns at Cazaly's, we had the Port Adelaide up against St Kilda's. Big shout out to St Kilda and their support with First Nation Radio Station here. We did the outdoor broadcast at the AFL house, the Cape York house here in Cairns, and a big shout out to the team there as well. And they got up 43 points to 42. That's Port Adelaide defeated St Kilda, 43 points to 42, 1 point in it. The Carlton defeated North Melbourne, 114 points to 64. And that score again, 114 points to 64. Carlton defeated North Melbourne. Collingwood defeated Gold Coast Suns, 115 points to 90. Western Bulldogs defeated Essendon Bombers, 103 points to 71. Brisbane Lions defeated Sydney Swans, 113 points to 89. That's the score there. So hope your team went well. And looking at the fixtures for this up-and-coming weekend, the Port Adelaide play against Western Bulldogs, Fremantle up against North Melbourne, you've got Richmond Tigers up against Collingwood Magpies, Sydney Swans up against Gold Coast Suns, GWS up against Geelong Cats, Essendon take on Hawthorn, Lions take on the West Coast Eagles, and Melbourne Demon take on St Kilda, and Carlton take on Adelaide Crows. So there it is, your mob. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Give me a call, Yarn Up Strong, to Deadly Mob.
G'day, your mob. This is Tanya Kernigan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
I have a little pony, a pony of my own. He has a dapple collar, a collar of red roan. His home is down the valley, where the bird sings merrily. He knows it's time to ride the range when I give the old cooey. He's good at the open cap drop, his footstep is so neat. Even at the night watch, he's very hard to beat. All mustering up wild cattle, we're always at the lead. He's a jack of all trades beauty, this fiery little steed. Steed.
Yeah, Deadly Track there. I have a little pony, Jeffrey Fletcher, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yana, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, 1 hour program. Coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yindinja Country, BBM Bumba Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. All right, now university researchers have delved into the properties of Gumby Gumby trees and other traditional medicines in partnership with the Gunungalu elder who practices from his bush pharmacy in central Queensland. We're going to catch up a yarn there with Central Queensland University researcher Mani Naka on the line. Mani, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, and how are you doing?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where do you stem from, Mani?
Can you repeat the question, please?
Sorry, where do you stem from? Where do you come from, Mani?
Oh, I originate from the Fiji Islands. I was born and bred in Fiji Islands, and I came here about 20 odd years ago. So I still have strong family connections to the Fiji Islands.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. Now, you're a researcher there at CQ University and doing research on the Gumby Gumby trees and working with the traditional owners there on the land regarding the pharmacy, bush pharmacy, yes?
Yes, that's correct. So we have a collaborative research understanding with the Gungulu elder, Uncle Steve, who's based in Urumbinda, not far from Rockhampton. So it's been great to have him on board, and we're looking forward to some good outcomes going forward.
Well, good outcomes in regard to, as you explained, the definition of bush pharmacy. Our mob who lived on the land got pharmacy at their fingertips in regarding the bush. So it could be learnt a lot, both a two-way street there for everybody involved, yeah?
That's very correct. I mean, the most unique aspect of what Uncle Steve and his people have been doing over so many years and in the current times as well is that their knowledge has been acquired through inherent practices. And, you know, one cannot discount that knowledge that has been passed on for generations to generation. And it is invaluable knowledge that is privy to only Uncle Steve and his close-knit community. And the fact that he is happy to share that with the wider community in view of bringing the traditional approach to handling medicines in some sync with the Western approach.
Well, when you're talking about the oldest living culture on planet Earth, I mean, you must come to the table with an open mind and for the learning. We are students for life, are we not, Professor?
Yes, that's very true. I think that's a very, very interesting point you make there. I think if we put ourselves in a neutral ground and just ask a very simple question, who is more knowledgeable, whose knowledge is more important? And it's a very simple question, but if you sit down and think about it, it's quite complex.
Yes.
So from where I look at it and my colleagues look at it, everyone's knowledge is as important as anyone else's.
Yes.
And there is no reason to discount anyone's knowledge as long as they are happy to share. Mm. And if they are more than happy to do more scientific work to justify and, give them justification as to what their practices and beliefs have been is scientifically justified. You know, if it is, it's great. If it is not, we also, that's a new knowledge, you know. No result is a new knowledge. So I think in summary, to answer that question, I think we should not undermine anyone's knowledge and their skill sets. We've got to bring it all together. And the more overlapping and more assimilate we have with traditional knowledge into the mainstream Western knowledge, we are in a better place. We can be more competitive, amongst other parts of the world in this space.
And regarding the foundation of communication, we talk first of all respect and also acknowledgement and talking to the traditional owners of the land. And with that at the table, then look, we can go forward. And look, this could become a new industry as such, with opportunities for Indigenous employment and businesses as well.
That's very true. But before I go and talk about the potential business opportunities, I think what you mentioned, cultural awareness protocols, that is something very unique, again, when we are researching and working in any aspect of life with the First Nations people and the Indigenous culture. I think coming from a non-Indigenous background, although I was born and bred in the islands, it took me a while to really understand the importance of cultural awareness with the, when we're working with the, and interacting with the Indigenous people in Australia. I think it gives you, if you have that ability to cross border and try and understand their culture, and it makes your interaction with them more meaningful, and you sort of have a lot more confidence building between both parties. So from our personal experience, it took us nearly 2 years to get to where we are. So it wasn't just we turned up to Uncle Steve and he turned up to us and said, let's do something. It was a lot of groundwork, and I loved going through that process. You know, it took time, but we are reaping the rewards of that, having that open-ended, interacting, respectful both parties. And I think that's really important if other researchers down the track would like to work with Indigenous people, to give that a lot of thought, how to build that relationship. Mm. And even if it takes time, you've got to stick with it. And to answer your second question there, you know, about potential business opportunities, employment, that is always in the cards. You know, I mean, just like any other business, we've got to treat this as an opportunity. We've got to have a business plan. And for all of that to transpire, Uncle Steve now needs to validate his findings, his what he has been experiencing, the feedback he has been getting from his community. I mean, he must be getting something from his community to suggest to him that what he's doing, his approaches are good enough.
Yes.
And once we validate that for him, then comes the opportunities and for business, engaging the community people into employment, production, large-scale growth of Gumby Gumby. So there's a lot of things that can eventuate. But always remember, we've got to take things on a systematic and a logistical approach, taking one thing at a time and supporting Uncle Steve and his people in this long journey. It's not going to just happen in a year or 2 years. But the interesting thing is, and for me, the most positive thing is that we have made a formal start, unconditional start, and that is great. That gives us the enthusiasm and the confidence to keep at it. And the fact that we are close to Uncle Steve and where he's based, our interaction is fairly common. We meet, so it's an open-ended relationship which we are very proud and happy to have built.
Well, you've come a long way in regard to the 2 years conversation prior to moving along, a slow process. First Nation people have always been protective of their culture. When you talk about the rapage and pillage of our culture, we once bitten twice shy, so to speak. So you've done it the proper way, protocol, and look, I see a strong foundation there and relationship building to go forward. And Uncle Steve has virtually given you a thumbs up in regard to the respect that you've shown, the communication that you've shown, and for the traditional owners on the land. So I think it's a great opportunity for both parties.
Oh, it's a brilliant opportunity. And as I said before, the key thing is to understand the whole process. Sometimes you've got to put yourself a step back from your science hat, your research hat, and look at things from the other side.
And put your student hat on. Hey, money.
What's that?
Put your student hat on.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Put your student hat on and try and learn. That's exactly what you did. You've nailed it, mate. That's how we managed to get the confidence of Uncle Steve. We met 2 years ago, and it took us, we had interactions, but it took us 2 years in total to completely do the legal, we did all the legal documents from our legal team and his legal team. So we did not leave any stone unturned. Good. In view of making sure that Uncle Steve's intellectual property and his knowledge is protected as paramount.
Beautiful.
And once you have that in place, it becomes a great open-ended relationship.
Yeah.
And that really then, that opens for many, many outcomes. I mean, you can imagine if we continue on with Uncle Steve for next 10 years, what we could find
exactly.
And support and validate for him. Is
Pandora's box.
Exactly. There's a lot more to do. And just one more thing I would add about the interactions with Uncle Steve is that, from the university's point of view, Uncle Steve is part of the research team. He is not just a provider of samples. Yeah. We are not providing a service to him.
No.
We are actually including him as part of the research group. So when we go to conferences, Uncle Steve is invited to attend with us, meet
Beautiful.
Other industry provider, you know, where we can get funds to help him set up his business. So that also, I think, has given Uncle Steve a lot more, you know, confidence and he's more comfortable.
He's part of the team.
He's part of the team, and he's over the moon, and he's more happy to, you know, give us more information, and that interaction is very unique. You know, as you can imagine, we are researchers. We can go and pick up a plant and break it into pieces and find out what's in there. But to work with someone who has knowledge of using this plant in a unique and specific way, and to bring them into the main Western science front is very unique. I mean, I don't, you know.
Well, it's a form of respect and importance as well towards Uncle Steve, which is powerful. Acknowledgement.
Well, you can see that. You can feel it. That's unconditional. If you get to that level where you have that confidence, a lot more can be done. So, you know, the crux of what I've learned and I would advise others is to be patient and have a good, you know, holistic approach to working with indigenous people, not only in scientific research, but in any aspect of our
life, living
in the same land,
Dr. Money, thank you very much for your yarn. All the best. Give our best to Uncle Steve and keep doing what you're doing. Please do keep in touch.
I will. Thank you for having me on.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All the best. Cheers. Bye.
Adela Yarn there. That's Dr. Manny Naker. He's the Central Queensland University researcher and working closely with Uncle Steve Kemp, and has been using the knowledge from his great uncle, Charlie Munns, a so-called medicine man who treated some of the first Aboriginal people who arrived during 1926 in Moorabbinda, 170 kilometres southwest of Rockhampton. To Deadly Mob, have you saying Yana Strong, 1-800-422-416, National Talk Black.
What I go to school for, even though it ain't the real boy, you can't call me.
Yeah, that's what I go to school for. Busted here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Call the number, Yarn, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong, your mob too deadly. Yothu Yindi legend undergoes operation amid calls for healthcare language boost. Northern Territory Collective responsible for aiding Yothu Yindi member Widiana Marika manage a serious illness, say appropriate health messaging could have helped conditions in Aboriginal communities. Mr. Marika had recently underwent a second operation to treat his rheumatic heart disease thanks to education and provided by Y Warriors. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Richard Trudgeon, who's co-founder of Y Warriors, on the line. Richard, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, Trevor, good. Good, mate. Good to be with you.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. So it just shows that a lot of work needs to be done regarding First Nation healthcare.
Yeah, look, we just don't get it, mate. If you speak to people in Japanese and they speak another language, they're not going to understand it. And a lot of our traditional people, and even people that are speaking Aboriginal English, it's a different language because it's got a different grammar structure. And people just don't get it, that you really need to go to people and speak to them in a language that they understand. And they can understand down to a deep biomedical level if you do that properly, like we've done over many, many years, many decades.
Yes. Mr. Marika, he said, thank you, brother, for giving me information I needed. You've kept me alive. I mean, that's powerful words. Quickly tell us exactly why Warriors, who they are and how they come about, please, Richard.
Yeah, well, Why Warriors came from the book I wrote 20 years ago now, Why Warriors Lie Down and Die. Mm. Now, when I was first asked to write that book by a Yungo elder, who was my boss at the time, I said, I can't write this. And he said, you have to write it. And I said, why? And he says, well, you speak English is your first language. And he says, you know this stuff, you've got it in your head. And all the other staff in the room at that time laughed because I'd hardly written anything. Mm. So we sat down and rewrote the book.
But it was meant to be, Richard, in regard to your connection with the mob there, you know. Ancestors work strong, and you were meant to be at that space, and you were virtually told to write a book, and here you are.
they put it on me, mate. And it changed my whole life because, you know, it's sold 40,000 plus now. And we only printed 20,000. We thought it wouldn't go anywhere. But now I realise it doesn't just speak for Yungo, it speaks for people all over the place because it's the same dynamics, the same human dynamics that's going on all over the world. We've had American Indians and people from indigenous people from Japan and everywhere come and say, hey, this book speaks to us. It's the same stuff. So when I collapsed about 12 years ago, I thought I was out of here and going to the other side. And then I started getting my health back again. I thought, well, I won't go back into being CEO of a big organisation or anything like that. What I'm going to do is retire into this job of trying to do education for Yungo that makes sense. Because it's a
calling in life, I think, Richard.
Yeah, because you can't get bureaucrats on side, mate. They don't get it.
And you use whatever tools available. This vehicle we're talking about, this tool is the book. And look, powerful as it is, but when you look at the 21st century and a first world country like Australia, and our First Nation health organisation or health care is down below par, then there's a lot of work to be done.
A lot of work to be done. And radio can play a big part in it because in the early 20s, myself and Yungo leaders in Arnhem Land decided to build Yungo Radio, a radio service that could do this education out. A radio can still do a lot of it if it's used the right way. Mm. You can teach a whole lot of stuff. And I know people at Dumanji or wherever else across the country are struggling to understand rheumatic heart disease. It would not be hard to do that education right across communities. So people, rather than when they go, oh, I've got rheumatic heart disease, and they go, oh, what the hell does that mean? Mm. Oh, it's something to do with my heart. What's my heart about? Oh, I don't know what that means either. So filling in what we call the information gaps, filling in the information gaps that the people have got, not what the bureaucrats have got, not what the bureaucrats want to say, but what are the people's questions, answering their questions. And that's what I did with Widiana Marika a number of years ago. And he He's one of his family has survived it because we got the education to him. Other members of his family haven't survived it.
Well, we're talking about communication and giving the right information. And, you know, so all cards are on the table in regard to the knowledge and information. And then it helps with prevention, but also helps with, you know, getting their life right, getting their life in order. And they're leading the way for the fellow community members.
That's right. And now he's teaching his kids about it. He's even taken one of his own kids through the operation in Adelaide. He now understands it. So you then get intergenerational transfer of information.
Yes, beautiful.
Hard to go sideways, and that's why you need a medium like radio or something to push the information sideways. A lot of neighbours and all that, oh, we're not sure if he really knows what he's talking about. But he can talk it down to his kids, and his kids now understand what rheumatic heart disease is around. And we want to... I was just talking to him a while ago, just before the interview, I told him it was coming on. And he said, we've got to get this information out to everybody.
Yeah.
We have hundreds of millions of dollars now being pushed into rheumatic heart disease, and it's all about servicing the people.
Yes.
It's not about empowering people with knowledge so they can then service themselves or work with the service provider rather than working against them or whatever. They can actually work together to solve the problem of rheumatic heart disease. Not many people get it, and unfortunately the bureaucrats don't get it either.
Well, we're getting it here on national radio, and thank you very much for the yarn and great talking with you. Big shout out there to Uncle Marika there and his family.
Yeah.
And you keep doing what you're doing, Richard.
Good on you, Trevor.
You take care, my friend. All the best, eh?
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah.
Bye-bye. A beautiful yarn. There's a Richard Trudgeon, his name is, co-founder, Why Warriors. And there was a book that was written. Well, he was told to write the book by elders there in Arnhem Land. And as Widiana America, who was responsible for his treatment of rheumatic heart disease, and he thanked Richard so very much for the information that he needed to keep him alive. So it's very important, and it just showcases the importance of communication with our mob, especially in community, and need to have all the information on the table. That's how it is. I want to give a big shout out to Andrew Underwood, who's we known as Undies, and the team. They do the AFL broadcasting as well on NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service, Indigenous Broadcasting. And big shout out to those guys. And they got the calls this weekend coming, Friday 6th of May. You got the Fremantle Dockers versus North Melbourne. And also on Saturday, 7th of May, Brisbane Lions versus West Coast Eagles. Too deadly. Have you seen Yana Strong Yamog? About 5 minutes left on the program, squeezing the yarn here on your daily program, National Talk Black. 1-800-422-416.